In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During these days of the season of Septuagesima, which have been given to us to prepare ourselves for the beginning of our Lenten journey, which is this coming Wednesday, I, as you have done, have spent time contemplating the disciplines that I will undertake. And while I very much appreciate the wisdom of Holy Mother Church in providing us with these weeks, not only in preparation for the disciplines, but also to provide an opportunity as to how I, at least, have approached understanding what my disciplines should be, oftentimes playing a certain degree of mental gymnastics with myself, as I seek to find something that will challenge me, but not challenge me too much. Something that will require sacrifice, but not a sacrifice that really actually makes me sacrifice. Something that might be slightly painful, but never overly painful, lest I lean too hard into the reality of carrying the mystery of the Lord's cross. Of course, I'm a weak and a sinful man, a lazy man and an indolent man, revealed minimally in these last 3 weeks as I have looked at my disciplines and tried to find something easy and simple, when in reality there is nothing easy or simple about the mystery of the cross. It was revealed to me in this process how I think about the mystery of the cross as something that, yes, is there, something that was given over for me that I might be saved, but certainly not something that I must myself embrace and actually live out. We very much want to go to Easter Sunday, but spend very little time on Good Friday at the foot of the cross. We treat our sacrifices, our sufferings, as things merely to be overcome. And once I have set them aside, then I can be about the business of actually living my Catholic life, not understanding, not realizing that the heart of living our Catholic lives is a willingness to embrace our crosses on a daily basis, brothers and sisters. Not just during the Lenten season, not just in preparation for the Lenten journey, not just when they are presented to me, when they are out of my control, but to embrace the cross, to make it central to my existence. As St. Paul reminded the Romans, do you not know that you have died with Christ, you live with Christ in the mystery of baptism? In our baptisms, being configured unto Christ, not only were we configured unto the new man, the new person who is Christ himself, but we also were brought into the fullness of Christ, which is the mystery of the cross. And so the Lord says in our gospel to his disciples, he teaches, proclaims, is clear that the Son of Man will go to Jerusalem, which is where we are going now. And these are all the things that are going to happen to him according to what the prophets have said. He will be mocked and scourged. He will be put to death, and he will rise again on the third day. One would anticipate then that what would follow from them was not only a certain degree of sadness at hearing this proclaimed, but also a certain degree of joy that on the third day he will rise again. But what does Luke tell us? And they understood none of these things. Nada. Zilch. Nothing about what the Lord said did they understand. I want to be shocked by that. I want to say, how could they not understand the great message that has been proclaimed in their midst? Then I pause and I think about myself in these last 2 weeks, and I realize that substantively I am no different than they. And in truth, maybe even worse off, precisely because I do know something that they at that moment did not know. Understanding the mystery of resurrection and new life, the conquering of sin and death on the cross, they had not yet experienced this when the Lord proclaimed this truth to them. We, however, have lived in this for over 2,000 years, and yet I too, and maybe we, remain just as ignorant and misunderstanding as the disciples did in the proclamation of this truth. But it does not change the truth as it is proclaimed. The Son of Man must suffer and die in order that we might live. And if we want to rejoice in the new life that the Son of Man gains for us, we must follow the same path that he himself undertook. Pick up your cross and follow me daily. It is not an easy task. It has never been an easy task. And even for God himself, he relied upon God, his Father, to give him the strength that he needed. His arms, his body raised up and sustained by angels who gave him the power to take the cross upon his shoulders and to approach Gethsemane and then Calvary and then the offering of his life. Every step of the way, looking upon the face of God, loving his Father as he himself was loved. And the Lord himself loving each of us. So when St. Paul gives to us in the beautiful exhortation as to the mystery of love in his exhortation to the Corinthians, we truly now understand of what love actually consists. Of course, we are most familiar with this passage of sacred scripture if we attend any wedding in any form at any time. And we all feel good about ourselves. I guess husbands and wives specifically feel good about themselves on that particular day as they think about the love that they are about to exchange. And well, they should. But then how easy it is to get knocked off course when life becomes difficult and complicated. When the honeymoon does indeed wear off. And love is no longer a simple task to be accomplished, but something that requires work from us. Even to the shedding of our blood and the gift of our body. This is, after all, what St. Paul himself says to us. It is love that motivates the carrying of the cross. It is love that gives us the strength to endure the sacrifices that we are about to undertake. It is love of God first for us and our love in return to him that gives us the ability to understand what it is that the Lord is saying to us. And just as it was love that gave our Lord strength, so it will be for each of us to carry the crosses that we are asked to endure. And so I am begging you, as I am exhorting myself, to maybe keep a harder Lent this year than you maybe would have in the past. To be serious about the disciplines that you're undertaking and do not lightly excuse yourself from them. There will always be things that will intervene, experiences that might pull you off course, but you might have to publicly proclaim that I'm not drinking for Lent. I'm giving this up for Lent. I'm embracing this for Lent. Maybe risking ridicule or mockery by family or friends or coworkers, because why would you do that? Why would you offer up? Why would you sacrifice for a God who doesn't exist, for a church that doesn't provide for you? And your answer will always be, as the Lord himself answers, because I have been loved, and I seek to love in return. And to bear in mind that as we sometimes remain ignorant of the things of God, those who do not know God are in even greater darkness than we ourselves might be. Bear in mind, brothers and sisters, lest we lose hope, that as the Lord continues to exhort the disciples to understand what it is that he's going to endure, he tells them and us that on the third day he will rise again. And this is precisely the reality that we celebrate and the reality into which we are entering at this precise moment. You will come forward and you will kneel down and you will receive the living God because he indeed has risen, has conquered sin and death once and for all. And in the act of receiving, taking God inside of yourself, you will be committed to embracing the cross, but also the hope that comes in the cross. You will be committing yourself to love as you have been loved, even to the point of shedding your blood and giving your body. You will understand that this is how the world will be transformed, and this is how you will cooperate with your salvation. And then with great joy and great confidence, you will be able to undertake on Ash Wednesday the disciplines that you have contemplated in these weeks leading up to that great day. And you will do so knowing that when you die with Christ, when you sacrifice with Christ, you live and embrace the new life that he has bestowed upon you. It is not an accident that then our passage from Luke's gospel concludes with the Lord healing the man who is born blind, giving him sight, a sight that came in part because he also is a man of great faith, knowing that to call out to the Lord will indeed answer his prayers. And so you too may need to be a beggar, calling upon the mercy of God in the midst of your sin, asking God to heal you in the midst of suffering, body, mind, or spirit. But do so with that great faith and confidence, knowing that the Lord will indeed hear you, And maybe as you raise your voice to God with a greater degree of intensity so that he can hear you above all the other voices that may be clamoring for his mercy, that he will provide all that you ask of him according to his divine providence and his will. Our Lenten retreat is about to begin, given to us for the sole purpose of deepening our intimacy with the Lord so that we understand fully what it means to be love, and then we can go forth in love in return. By an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, by the graces of this Eucharistic sacrifice, let us pay heed to what the Son of Man has done for us. Let us take up our crosses in love and follow him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.